You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Today I am joined by postdoctoral fellow Stephanie Waller, who has come on the program to talk about bird flu in Aotearoa. How are you going this morning?
Yeah, great. Thank you. And thank you so much for having me.
No problem. It's always nice to get someone who knows way more about me, way more than me, sorry, about these things on the program. So let's just jump into it. There's two cases confirmed in New Zealand of the H5N1
yes.
bird flu. How does that differentiate to other bird flus, this particular strain?
Yeah, so we often classify avian influenza based into two sort of different groups. So we can have low pathogenic avian influenza viruses as well as high pathogenic avian influenza viruses. And the low pathogenic avian influenza viruses often don't result in disease in birds and they're quite mild, whereas the high path obviously cause a lot of disease and they're sort of the more concerning subtypes. And what we've found is that low pathogenic avian influenza viruses have been in New Zealand for a number of years now. We've known this for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first reported cases of H5N1, so that high pathogenic avian influenza virus within New Zealand. So this is quite a new thing for New Zealand. But it has sort of circulated around the world for around 6 years now. It's just Oceania's sort of been the last continent now to get this virus.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so still there's only two confirmed cases, but that doesn't mean that it's all safe and good to go. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the first case was reported in a brown skua in Petone in Wellington, and they're sea-going birds, so it's likely that that bird got infected while it was out at sea. However, the most recent case was in a kahu, which is a swamp harrier, and that was up in the Wairarapa. And that's a bit more concerning because these are native to New Zealand and they're also scavengers. So it's likely that that bird has been scavenging on other birds that have been infected. So potentially there is a possibility that there is other birds that are infected in New Zealand. It's just we haven't been able to sample these and they've sort of been going undetected at the moment.
Yeah. And for New Zealand's native bird population, pets, poultry, I'm sure there's all different effects. Let's start with our native birds. How will it affect them?
Yeah, so it's really hard to tell actually at the moment because obviously our native species are so unique and they're not found around the world. So it is difficult to tell, but it is likely that it is going to have huge impacts on our native populations. Some species may be affected more than others, so it's sort of only time will tell. At the moment, the Department of Conservation has started vaccinating five different species that are sort of critically endangered.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 300 individuals from those sort of core breeding populations and their captive populations. So they're actively managed. So they've just begun vaccinating those at the moment. And they did a vaccination study last year and that proved to be quite successful. So they're sort of built on that, yeah.
Mm. And for poultry, you said off here that they're going to, was it flock down? Or?
Yes.
Yeah, so what does that mean?
Yeah, so because of the sort of more recent case in the native kahu, that's a bit more concerning. And again, like we still are sort of going to be looking over the next couple of weeks what actually is occurring within New Zealand, if there is any other undetected cases. So because of this, the majority of New Zealand's free-range poultry sort of populations have gone into what's called flock down. So this has occurred overseas, has been quite successful. It doesn't necessarily eliminate the risk of H5N1 going into poultry, but it does definitely limit the exposure that these free-range chickens have to exposure to wild birds that do carry H5N1.
Mm.
Yeah.
And for pets in Aotearoa, I think that's on people's minds.
Yes.
How will it affect them?
Yes, so we have seen overseas that cats can become infected. A lot of the time this is occurring when cats are obviously preying off of wild birds that are already infected, and then that's how they become infected. And unfortunately, there is quite high mortality risk associated with H5N1 in cats. At the moment, it's sort of up to the cat owners to decide what to do. Potential way to limit this is obviously to have your cat indoors for the moment, but that's up to every cat owner to make that decision.
And Australia, they've been dealing with this. What can we learn from their response in their cases?
Yeah, so in Australia, so they've also recently discovered this in wild birds. Again, it hasn't gone into their poultry yet. But what we've seen with Australia, as well as the rest of the world, is that we can't eliminate H5N1 because it's in wild birds. It's really difficult to eliminate, and no country has fully eliminated it for good. So that's not necessarily a possibility, but it is learning to evolve and live with H5N1 in a country. So, for example, putting flocks into temporary lockdowns, looking at vaccination of our native bird species, and yeah, adapting to living with H5N1 now. So we've learned a lot from that. And we've also learned how important surveillance is and rapid diagnostics. So we've learned that from Australia. And we've also had a lot of time as well over the past couple of years to look at everybody's responses, and the Ministry of Health, as well as the Ministry for Primary Industries and Department of Conservation, have all really worked together to, they've got a really good plan in place to help tackle this situation.
Yeah, nice. So what are New Zealand's, I guess, top priorities or first place priorities when dealing with this?
Yeah, so our sort of first priorities at the moment is surveillance. So it's really important to continue surveillance, and that's occurring at the moment through a combination of different ministries, but also public awareness is really important. So if the public sees three or more dead birds, they're meant to be contacting the Ministry for Primary Industries Exotic Disease and Pest Hotline, which you can find online. And then special disease sort of incursion investigators will come in and sample or take those birds and look for H5N1. And it's really important that the public doesn't touch or go too close near these birds. While there has been limited reports of humans becoming infected with H5N1, that is only occurring when humans have prolonged exposure to diseased animals. So it's really important for the public not to be touching these birds, but try get as much information as possible. So if you know where the location is, if you can take a photo from a safe distance, all that information is really important for alerting the authorities.
And are there any, I guess, special or emergency precautions being in place for our most vulnerable bird species, those who are already endangered?
Yeah, so at the moment, Department of Conservation, depending on each sort of conservation area within New Zealand, has just some different protocols that are being put in place at the moment, and they vary depending on each area as well as each species. But the main thing that they are doing is the vaccination sort of campaign at the moment. So, yeah, they are vaccinating 300 individuals across five of the sort of most threatened bird species in New Zealand, and these are captive populations that are actively managed within New Zealand.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for coming on the program and informing us all.
No worries. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All good. That was Stephanie Waller, postdoctoral fellow, talking about the H5N1 bird flu in Aotearoa. We're going to jump into a little bit.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.